darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Well, good evening, everybody. Alex McFarland here on the American Family Radio Network, sitting in for Abe Hamilton. Very honored to do so. I wish you a Merry Christmas. It's coming, folks. The time is almost upon us, and I hope you are all set for a joyous, Jesus-filled Christmas season. Well, we've got a lot to talk about on the show tonight. Got a great show. And, you know, speaking of Jesus, the Bible says of the Messiah who was born in Bethlehem so many years ago, wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. But it also says the government will be upon his shoulder. Now, there is coming a day when Christ is going to return, and like Habakkuk 2 says, that the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Now, we're not there yet, and there are human governments. I happen to think the American government, the Judeo-Christian constitutional government, when it is followed, which is sporadic, is the best human government that the world has seen yet, but the day is coming when the Lord Jesus will rule and reign from Jerusalem, and God wants you to be ready, and you can be ready through a relationship with Jesus Christ. But tonight, we're going to talk about American government and culture, imperfect though it is, and Jason Rapert. His website is jasonrapert.com and christianlawmakers.com. God is using Jason Rapert. He's an ordained minister. He's a governmental leader, and God is using him in a great way to help call our nation back to truth and the rule of law that we very often forget. He is the founder and president of the National Association of Christian Lawmakers, Holy Ghost Ministries, the American History and Heritage Foundation, and Providence Financial Group. And he leads in these areas, and he's a great influencer. We've been on the radio together before. And Walker Wildman of AFR is on his board, and also Bishop E.W. Jackson, Bill Federer, my close friend Bill Federer, and also Andrew Womack, who is just a very close colleague and friend of mine. So we move in a lot of the same circles, and Jason is just a great resource, a lot of knowledge and wisdom there, and he's with us tonight. And so a lot of things I want to ask him. Jason, thank you for being with us tonight on AFR, but most of all, thank you for your stand for God and country.
Well, it's so good to be with you, Alex, and you're right. The Lord has knitted us together with a lot of the same people through our lives, and you know, one of the first places you may have even forgotten this, Alex, is years ago, you came to Arkansas to speak at a pregnancy resource center for Melinda Chisholm up in central Arkansas. And that had, I think, was shortly after I had passed the heartbeat bill in Arkansas. And
I remember
that's where
that.
I got to know you, and really love getting to do that. And thank you for all that you've continued to do to impact this country for the Lord.
Well, and thank you for the heartbeat bill. And yes, I do remember that now. And do you know what? Since then, God has allowed me to speak at many, many fundraisers for pro-life and pregnancy care centers. And that's right. That is the first time you and I met. And I remember then how I was so honored to meet you. And let me ask this, because I always love to hear people's journey. How did God impress on you to be there at the forefront of defending life and liberty? And, you know, it's not always easy, and we could probably share some stories and compare battle scars, but how did God lead you to the work and the journey that you've been on?
Well, that is a fantastic question, and let me just kind of bring that. There's probably people listening to this program tonight, and they are thinking, Lord, what can I do, and how do you want me to be involved? So let me kind of give a little higher thumbnail sketch of this, Alex, because it might minister to somebody in that regard, because there are many people across this country that I believe God has ordained to fulfill certain duties and functions that they have yet to step into. Mm-hmm. And maybe by this question, they will begin to think about what God might want them to do personally. But as far as my involvement in the political arena, I actually was raising my family, running our business. I had actually been in the financial services industry in addition to our ministry work. So I'm an ordained minister. I've led mission teams into Ghana, West Africa. In fact, I was very, very deeply involved in our African ministry work when the Lord had me to pivot and to get involved in the political arena. In fact, the last time I was in Ghana, West Africa, Alex, I was able to baptize 70 Muslims into the Lord Jesus Christ in one service that we had, which Amen. Is something I'll just never forget, because that is truly a big decision for someone in Africa, because a lot of times their family will shun them and they can no longer be a part of their family after they've made that profession. And so I was deep into ministry, fulfilling what the Lord wanted us to do through Holy Ghost Ministries, which is we still operate now over 20 years. But in 2010, in 2009, leading up to the beginning of that year, God began to really deal with me. And people began asking me, Jason, would you consider running for office? And I, just like a lot of people out there, would say, you know, I'm going to support other good people, and as long as they're doing great, I'm going to do that. Well, it got more intense. And so I literally prayed into this very sincerely, and I felt God answered my prayer this way. Jason, why are you not sacrificing to serve at home at the same level that you've been sacrificing to serve overseas now that your country is in trouble? And so, Alex, when I heard that very clear answer to my prayer, I resigned from the financial services firm that I was working for. We were managing $165 million in assets working for other people. I resigned, walked away from that with the shoes on my feet, the shirt on my back. I opened up what you now know as Providence Financial so I could take care of my family. And I filed to run for the Arkansas State Senate in a state that had been dominated by Democrats for 138 years. And I ran and became the very first Republican elected to my Senate district at that time since the Civil War in 2010.
Amen.
Now, we were still in the minority. And so for 2 years, I found out what it's like to be the minority political party. And literally, we were just intimidated, and they tried to keep their thumb on us every which way you could turn. And so I ran the heartbeat bill in 2011, right after I got elected. And guess what? They killed that bill in committee. It never would get out of committee. But
yeah,
by God's
that's how
grace,
they do.
Yeah. And so by God's grace, in 2012, the Arkansas voters elected the first Republican legislative majority since literally the end of Reconstruction. It had been 138 years. Mm. So immediately after that, I ran what we now know as the heartbeat bill. And on March the 6th of 2013, after having passed that bill, and it got vetoed by then Democrat Governor Mike Beebe, not to be confused with Republican Governor Mike Huckabee, who's on our board, by the way, Mike Beebe vetoed that bill. And so I had to go in and override a veto. And literally on March the 6th, 2013, we passed what they said at that time was the strongest pro-life bill to be passed into law since Roe v. Wade. And so in answer to your question, I was a person of faith. I believe that God is the giver of life. I know that in the Declaration of Independence, our founding fathers said we are endowed by our Creator mm-hmm. with certain unalienable rights, and the first one is life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. And so I knew that I needed to stand up for God's word. You know, Alex, it says in Proverbs chapter 6, 16 through 19, there are six things that God actually hates, yea, seven are an abomination. And one of those things are hands that shed innocent blood.
True.
And so I knew that as a person of faith, as a Christian serving in elected office, I had no choice but to stand up for the sanctity of human life. And so I simply ran that bill, and I will tell you as I take a break here and pause for a moment for you to ask another question, but when I ran that, that's when the left unleashed, and to be honest with you, the old phrase, they just unleashed all of hell upon me. They've literally had threats to rape my daughters, rape my wife, burn my house.
Lord.
One person that even said they were going to come and consume me alive in front of my family. Through that ordeal, and the state police literally saying, Jason, you need to have your family leave the state until we get through these credible death threat investigations, because there were so many that came against me. That Rachel Maddow, Alex, had run a hit piece on me, and that unleashed another whole load of terrible things. And so out of that, I turned around, and I said, where are all of our people? Because there's a lot of people say they'll be praying for you. But when the real trouble comes and the fur is flying, as they say in the South, I looked around and noticed there was a lot of people missing. They said they were praying for us, but when the spotlight's on you and they're running down your family and they're running down your name in the public venues, it was like, where are these people? And so I began asking a question, Alex. I said, why do we not have a National Association of Christian Lawmakers? And as I would ask that question, people began saying, I don't know why in the world we've never done that. That's so strange. And so Governor Mike Huckabee met with me, Tony Perkins, the Family Research Council, Bob McEwen, that you know, Congressman McEwen, and others.
I know Bob McEwen.
Yeah, and they said, Jason, you need to go ahead and do this. In fact, Tony Perkins interviewed me in 2018. And he said, this is an entity whose time has come. And so we formed the entity in 2019. And in 2020, in August, the state of Florida, because it's the only state that had the courage to let us meet in person, we met in person and formed what they say is the first formally organized National Association of Christian Lawmakers in the history of the country. We now have members and supporters in all 50 states. We have local elected officials that serve on school boards, city councils, county governments, state senators, state representatives, and now we have congressional members. So the vision has been hit, and just literally a little over 48 months, we now have a very strong foundation of Christians that serve in elected office, and they come together in two major national meetings each year, our National Policy Conference that will occur June 5th through the 7th at Liberty University. That will be our ninth in-person national meeting since we formed. And we just finished our last annual meeting this past weekend in Scottsdale, Arizona, where Charlie Kirk came and spoke personally.
Oh, yeah.
Received the American Patriot Award for Christian Honor and Courage. Dr. George Barna was given a Lifetime Leadership Award and spoke to us personally at our meeting. Bill Fetter was awarded a Lifetime Leadership Award himself, and he's very worthy of that. And then Jack Phillips, the Masterpiece Cake Shop baker.
I know every one of these guys.
And he allowed us to love on him, to hear his testimony. And I'm so proud of what these members have done. So, Alex, I now need to stop, but as you can tell, there's a lot to say about what God has done with this group of men and women. And one of the things that Mike Huckabee said, and we're so proud that he's been nominated to be ambassador of Israel, because our group has the only standing committee on America-Israel relations of any of the paralegislative groups in the country. But Mike Huckabee said, we want those Christians in elected office to know they are not alone.
Yeah, hold that thought. Jason, forgive me. We've got a break. Hold that thought. We're going to come back. Alex McFarland here along with Jason Raypert. So much good news, so much influence. God is working through him and others to save the country. We've got a brief break. We'll continue on the American Family Radio Network after this. Don't go away.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
Psalm 119 verse 105 tells us your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. In all of life, one of the single most fruitful habits is that of reading God's word every single day. And I like to encourage believers to set a goal of reading at least 3 chapters in your Bible every day. It might be 3 different chapters, or it might be the same chapter 3 times over, but spending time in God's word will bless your life in ways you don't fully comprehend. God's word ministers to your mind, body, and spirit in a way that no one else or nothing else can. And remember, the word of God is pregnant with the ability to bless you. It's full of light, full of grace, full of peace, power, and joy. I would challenge and encourage you to start the habit of reading 3 chapters a day today. And also, parents, I would encourage you to start the habit of having your children, each of them, to read 3 chapters in their Bible every day as well. It's a habit that'll bless your whole family.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
You know, I've heard people say to me over the years when we talk about the country and restoring America and revival, and people say, well, you know, I'm just one person. What can one person do? Well, if you've ever asked yourself the question, what can one person do? Look at the life of Jason Rapert, because this guy is a one-man just juggernaut of godliness and patriotism, and the Lord is using him in so many great ways. His website, jasonrapert.com, and then, of course, the National Association of Christian Lawmakers. And before the break, brother, I was just sitting here in my heart just praising God for your obedience so many years ago, and then the Heartbeat Bill, lives being saved, other people being emboldened. And, you know, many of the names that we throw around, folks, you've got to understand, when we talk about a Bill Federer, William J. Federer, just along with people like David Barton, and of course, Governor Huckabee, Mike Huckabee, and so many other names, and I'm going to throw a few names out there, you know, Tony Perkins, and of course, George Barna, that you've given an award to. You know, I've read after these people for years, read their work, known them for many years. And Jason, there is a godly and growing wave of people that are committed to Christ, committed to this country, very astute, very wise, led by the Holy Spirit of God. There's a building army of patriots and Christians like yourself that God is using. And I think there are people listening right now that God wants to conscript into that army of leaders for God and country. It is exciting, isn't it, Jason?
It is exciting. And Alex, there's just so much to talk about that you mentioned some of the names you've thrown out, and I would encourage people, you've been kind enough to mention, I've got a little splash page that where people are looking for my name, but hopefully they will take that splash page to go off into the other entities really that are the center of my life, which is like ChristianLawmakers.com. That's where they really get a feel for what the NACL is doing, Alex. But I was thinking as you're stating this segment, about what can someone do in getting involved in this growing army, I want to share one scripture with you, and it's out of Jeremiah chapter 18. It says there in verse 5, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in mine hand, O house of Israel." Now, Alex, I think of America when I read this today. And it says in verse 7, "At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them." I shared that, Alex, so often people quote 1 Chronicles 7:14.
Sure.
And I love that. We know it, but it's got to where it's almost become too quoted, right? People quote it, but they don't stop to think about it. What I love is that Jeremiah 18 is an echo, and here's the thing. In the South, so many people say, well, they get to the end of a conversation, Alex, and if they hadn't quite got it all figured out, they say, well, you know, God is in control.
Yes.
And they just stop, okay?
Yeah.
And they make you think that whatever bad's going on, well, you know, God's in control. Well, God's reminding you in Jeremiah that it is our decision what he ultimately decides to do oftentimes.
Yeah.
Because he said, if you keep doing evil and keep doing these things, you're going to get the judgment that I've decided to send your way. But you know what? If you decided to stop that, I might pull back. I might change.
Well, yeah. I mean,
so
the
right
ball is in
America,
our court.
Yeah.
Forgive me for interrupting, Jason, but I mean, I really think just to with resignation say, well, God's in control. I've heard Christians, they'll say, well, you know, it is what it is, and whatever will be, will be.
Yeah.
That's really a cop-out, honestly, folks. Because, yes, God is sovereignly in control. It's his universe. And, you know, I assure you, King Jesus is ultimately sovereignly in control. But we're in a time of history, folks, where the Spirit of God has fallen. The church has been birthed. And just like, you know, God said to Israel, I set before you good and evil. I mean, you know, make your choice. And this scripture you gave, Jeremiah 18:7-10, I'm reading it even as you speak, Brother Jason, and it is so powerful.
Yep.
You know, if a nation will turn, then judgment and destruction will be withheld. But if a nation will not listen, is bent on doing evil, verse 10 of Jeremiah 18, God says, look, I'll repent of the good that I was going to do. So,
right.
So much, the ball is in our court. Now, I happen to believe on November 5th, 2024, so many people were praying, so many people were willing to get out and vote. And Jason, back in 2015, I actually met Donald Trump, it was kind of a chance meeting. In Washington, and I was myself, Robert Jeffers, Jerry Falwell Jr. at that time. We were very pro-Trump in late 2015, early 2016, and I'll tell you, back in the day, it really cost me a lot of speaking engagements. Here's the thing. I think
right.
In 2024, I had a lot of pastor friends that for the first time, they were getting out of the comfort zone, and they were telling people to go vote. They were supporting Donald Trump, and it might have been scary for some of those timid souls, but it made a difference. I really think that we saw the church and the prayers of millions of patriotic people. It made a difference, didn't it?
Oh, it did. Before I say anything more, I want to mention that we just heard updated information from Dr. George Barna during our conference. And he will state very clearly that Christians made the difference in this vote in 2024.
God.
And now, at the same time, he's also going to tell you Christian voters still are horribly not involved because we got millions of Christians still sitting on the sidelines. But of those that did decide to get active this time, they absolutely did make a difference in electing President Donald Trump. And if President Trump is listening tonight or any of his new cabinet, I need you to understand you need to sit down and break bread with your Christian brothers in the conservative movement.
Amen.
Because we did make the difference. And here's the other thing that's coming on. You know, ever since we started the NACL, we have been daily. We've got a program called Save the Nation with Jason Rapert.
Mm-hmm.
It airs on another radio network. In fact, now that I'm talking about it, Walker's talked to me. Maybe one of these days you all get to hear us at some point. But yeah, we're talking about that because, in fact, I'd forgotten until I started this session with you that we even had that conversation. But on that, every day, we encourage people to get out and get engaged according to Genesis 1:26 through 28. God's will was originally, he said, man, you go take authority over the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, everything that creeps on the earth, and take dominion and authority. And the church has given up our authority in so many areas, including government, including the media, including Hollywood, et cetera, et cetera. We haven't actually, you know, been salt and light like we should.
Hey, Jason,
when
I thought
light is covered, go ahead.
Oh, forgive me. But, you know, NACL, now that's an acronym for National Association of Christian Lawmakers, right?
It is, and I know what you're about to say.
Well, I'm just sitting here, and I'm trying to remember my days of high school science. Sodium chloride, that's salt, isn't it?
It's the scientific symbol of salt. Isn't God good, Alex?
Amen. Now, was that intentional? NACL, that's, if you folks remember your study of the periodic table, that's salt. Was that intentional?
Well, it intentionally was done, but I like to think that God gave us something just wonderful in that blessing, that it was the scientific symbol of salt.
Amen.
And so, yes, and what we've had happen is a lot of people, Alex, have actually, when they might not even be engaged much with church, that catches their attention and allows us to make the point which we've just made, that we're to be salt and we are to be light in our country. And to finish the thought of what I was making the point about regarding Donald Trump and the Christian voters, what I want the Trump administration, and for that matter, the Republican Party in the United States to remember, there are tens of millions of Christian voters that have not yet engaged politically. And I believe that's going to change, Alex. We are working, putting together, knitting together people that are already serving in office that are Christians, but we see Christian organizations and entities now coming because they want to engage with the people that are part of the NACL network. Mm-hmm. And we are so happy about that. At this latest meeting at Scottsdale, Arizona, we had SBA Pro-Life America. We had ADF. We had First Liberty. Matt Staver's on our board with Liberty Council. We've obviously, with Walker's involvement, as you see what I'm talking about, the NACL has become really a platform by which all of these groups that have wonderful ministries and are doing great things are connecting with the actual lawmaker. You see, it's one thing to talk about making a change and to preach about making a change, but when you put that together with people that are in the trenches fighting those battles and standing on the floors of your state houses and your state senates and standing on the floor of Congress, something really awesome begins to happen. That's when James, the book of James, comes alive. Faith without works are dead. And friends, what I love about the NACL and about AFA and other groups that are out here, they don't just talk about it. They put their faith into action. And that's what we need to save this country. And Alex, as we think about the Christian voter in America going forward, if every Christian and every pastor would decide we are going to support only those people that uphold biblical values, you're going to change America solidly for the next 100 years without question. And who knows, by that time, maybe Jesus will come back and catch us all away, Alex.
Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Hey, I want to throw something out there. And by the way, folks, if you're just tuning in, Alex McFarland here, and my very special guest, Jason Rapert, for whom I have such respect. I'm going to throw out some dates because you and I know this world, I mean, humans do what humans do. But really, spiritual realities are all around us. The Bible says Satan stalks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And I think 2024 was one of the most spiritually charged years. And let me say this. In 1973, when Roe versus Wade removed legal protection from the unborn, that was a spiritual, a day of spiritual darkness. Let me throw some dates out here and talk to me, Jason, if you would, about what you feel like the spiritual implications were. And one of the first dates I would throw out there is July 13, 2024, in a Pennsylvania field, Matthew Crooks. Because, look, Donald Trump in the news, they kept saying, oh, he's an existential threat to democracy. From Nancy Pelosi to AOC to Joy Behar and Whoopi Goldberg on The View, Donald Trump was just denigrated and painted as this evil person. And Matthew Crooks almost changed the course of world history by, you know, taking those words to heart. Talk to me, if you would, Jason, about the spiritual battle that coalesced on a Saturday afternoon, July 13, 2024.
Well, it's interesting that you brought up that date. I was in Nashville, Tennessee at a Council for National Policy meeting. I know you know who those folks are.
Oh, yes.
And I was at CNP. My wife and I were about to celebrate our 34th wedding anniversary the next day. And my goodness, when this horrible thing happened. And literally, I will say it. There's so many things to say. We don't have a lot of time, but I'll say it this way. We're grateful that God saved Donald Trump's life.
Amen.
But I believe that we can safely also say that by saving his life, it probably saved the United States of America as we know it. We're a very divided country. And the Bible says that life and death are in the power of the tongue. That's what the Bible says. And for years, the Democrat Party in this nation has spoke curses on this country. They have denigrated our founding fathers. They've tried to make them into people to be hated rather than appreciated. They have denigrated the U.S. Constitution itself. They have torn down the things that we appreciate to the point that they tore down statues of our history, Alex.
Yeah.
They raided downtown urban centers, burning them, destroying property. They attacked people. The anti-Semitism, all of those things, and all of that is what's happened.
Hold that thought. I'm so sorry, Jason. We've got a break. Folks, this is the American Family Radio Network with our very special guest, Jason Raypert. We're back after this.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. That's Proverbs 14:34. Hi, Alex McFarland here sitting in for Abe Hamilton and our very special guest, Jason Raypert. We'll resume in just a minute. Before time fleets away, I do want to remind everybody that we have got our 7 youth biblical worldview camps coming up in the summer of 25. Now, I realize a week away from Christmas, probably the last thing you're thinking about is the summer of 2025. But if you would, I want to give 2 websites. One, my own website, alexmcfarland.com. My articles, my tour schedule is on there. I'll be at the Billy Graham Training Center twice next year at the Cove, once teaching the book of Job, and then once a week with J. Warner Wallace. We'll be doing in August an apologetics week. Then I've got our speaker series that we lead next summer with Dinesh D'Souza and a number of other great speakers. But our summer youth camps, and we have 1,200 teenagers. And last summer we had 168 kids get saved. And we not only talk to kids about the gospel, we talk about America and being a citizen. And that website is equipretreat.org. We've been doing this for 24 years now. And we do apologetics, biblical worldview. But just like what Jason Raypert and I are talking about, citizenship, and let me just say, the kids get so excited because young people want They want to know who they are. They want to know where they are, context, identity, how to make a difference. We teach them about Jesus. We teach them about America. So check out equipretreat.org. Well, I want to get back to our guest. And Brother Jason, I just want to say thank you for all you're doing, because sitting here, hearing how God is using you in such mighty ways, I'm inspired. And I was just sitting here in all honesty, no flattery, but I was like, man, I want to be more like that guy. I want to follow what Jason Rapert is doing, and I'm going to just be like Jason Rapert, because God is using you in a great way. And so what a joy to have you on the program tonight. Hey, before the break, you were talking about, I sort of threw it out there about July 13, when President Trump was almost killed, but he wasn't.
Hello.
Hey, can you hear me? Jason, I don't know. Can you hear me, brother? Jason, are you there? Are you able to hear me? Well, I'll tell you what, Bobby, if you could try to get him back on. Before the break, we were talking about the spiritual overtones of July 13. Last summer, when you saw it, folks, candidate Trump, U.S. President number 45, praise God, now to be inaugurated as U.S. President number 47. He was almost killed. And the rhetoric that was being spewed forth in the news, I mean, the left, not only Democrat leaders, but talking heads, they were just denigrating Donald Trump. And he was almost killed. It shows, like Jason Rapert was saying, that words have meaning. Yeah. Jason, are you back, brother?
Yes, it just you just went away there, but thank you for getting me back on.
Yeah, thank you very much for holding. Thank you for your patience. Before the break, you were talking about what almost went down, and you started a prayer initiative just days after Donald Trump was almost shot. Finish your thought, if you
will. That's right. Well, it's exactly right. And so I was making the point that literally the division in this country, everyone knows, is greater now than it has been since the Civil War in this nation. And we've seen that. And what I was stating is that we have been seeing now for a couple of years, culminating in literally assassination attempts, the spiritual friction culminating and manifesting into the physical realm. And I believe this is true. And we've had more than one assassination attempt against Donald Trump, lest we forget it.
Yeah.
That one is the most poignant one. And when that happened, I immediately, you know, felt a call to issue a call for prayer and fasting, which we initiated on Tuesday following the assassination attempt. So every single day since July, that Tuesday, and I think it was the 16th, or if I've got the date right, it's the Tuesday after the assassination attempt. Every Tuesday at noon Eastern time, we do a live virtual call. In fact, people can still join that call by going to ChristianLawmakers.com, and we have a little link for our weekly prayer call. And we decided to just keep it going. And so we had people from all over the country. And Alex, it was lawmakers as well as just individuals, people that wanted to take part. And a lot of times we'll have a special speaker just like yourself. I told you I'd love you to come on and do that as well. And they will kick us off, but then we have people pray. And we have them just begin to speak their heart out to God about what's going on. And so we have continued to keep that going. And I will tell you, we need people to continue in this nation. You know, we have seen a real turn in the country, in which it's a palpable turn in the spirit as well. Because the country, through voting for Donald Trump, have actually said we are done with the craziness and the woke policies that have just been toxic in our nation. And so we believe that God is giving us a moment, just like Jeremiah chapter 18. He is giving us an opportunity to stop what has been a march towards judgment in this country because of unrighteousness, the killing of human babies in our nation, and the absolute horrible embrace of sodomy and the LGBTQ lifestyle that is against God's word just as much as abortion is. And we've got an opportunity to begin to put the country back together. And so we invite people to engage in your churches and the other groups you're involved in at greater levels than you ever have. But we also invite you to get to know the NACL. We'd love for you to engage and begin to pray specifically for your lawmakers and to help them as they pass policies. And I want to say as we're closing, Alex, during this last meeting here, we have a lot of model legislation, 45 different bills that have been passed into model form since the NACL started, including, by the way, Life at Conception Act, which I helped carry the Arkansas abortion ban trigger bill that ended all abortion in our state after the Dobbs decision came out. It triggered our bill. Mm-hmm. We have got members like Representative Doty Horton in Louisiana that passed the Ten Commandments poster bill that many of you have heard about, the display of those Ten Commandments posters. And Representative Mark Gidley of Alabama helped her in passing that as a model at our latest meeting. And so we are disseminating that so that legislators can file that same bill all over the United States of America, and they will. And they also passed the Ten Commandments Monument Act. And Alex, you may remember in 2015, I carried a bill called the Arkansas Ten Commandments Monument Act that became law. And 24 hours after we put up the Ten Commandments Monument in Arkansas, a guy drove across the state and filmed himself destroying that. Mm. We raised all the funds again to build it back. And in 2018, the American Atheists, the American Humanists, the Freedom from Religion Foundation, the ACLU, and the Satanic Temple all sued the state of Arkansas and decided to teach me a lesson in doing so. We're still in federal court, Alex. Can you believe that even with the Coach Joe Kennedy case that threw out the limit test, that federal judge appointed by Barack Hussein Obama in Arkansas still has that case live in her court?
Goodness gracious.
She will not let it go. But I'm telling you, what happened is when that lemon test got threw out in the Joe Kennedy case, that Bremerton School case that was decided in 22, you can now put up Ten Commandments monuments, Ten Commandments posters, nativity scenes, menorahs. You can put them all back up at state capitals, at city halls, at county courthouses. And I'm so proud of our friends at First Liberty, Kelly Shackelford. They are really telling people about this in their Restoring Faith in America initiative. And so we invite people, engage with the NACL, where you can take ideas that we are seeing passed in many of our state legislators to protect women's sports, to get the drag queen story hours out of our libraries, protect our southern border, election integrity, et cetera, et cetera. They're working to make sure that our policies in America are something that we can feel proud of as it honors God.
Amen.
And so, Alex, I know that we've had a great conversation here today. It seems like we've just scratched the surface, but thank you for having us on today to talk about the NACL. And just know that if we want to save the nation, it's not going to be someone else that does it. It needs to be me and you and the people that are listening to this call. And I Amen. Happen to believe, just as I shared with all of our members during our meeting this weekend in Scottsdale, Arizona, in Luke chapter 10, Jesus is actually speaking there, and he's basically, you know, advising them that they have power that God has given to them to tread upon serpents and to go out and to do great things in his name. And I believe that in America, we've got a lot of people that have been sitting on the sidelines. And just as he said in chapter 10, verse 18, this is what Jesus said: I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And he says, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So, Alex, I'll tell you, all of the things going on in the country, the only way to really save America is to have a real revival in this nation. And once that revival takes hold, then we'll have God, more godly people that will do more godly things and hopefully have a more godly nation. And that's really the heart and soul of what the NACL stands for. So thank you for having me on today, brother.
Amen. Well, brother, I appreciate you. And listen, consider me, as soon as I can email you, I'm going to be the next one joining. And I truly mean that. I got to ask you one more question. And I want you to, and you laid it out so beautifully.
I'm sorry, I cannot hear you.
Okay, I'm sorry. I don't know why you're not able to hear me. Can you hear me now, Jason? Can you hear me now? Well, listen, folks, I don't know what the audio issue is, but this has just been wonderful. Jason Raypert, and I'm going to join the National Association of Christian Lawmakers. That's just a wonderful group, and Walker Wildman is on their board, and I'm so glad of that. But, folks, I want to tell you another spiritually charged day. It was October 17 of 2024. And Kamala Harris was at a rally, and the audio is so clear. Later, some of her people tried to backpedal and say she didn't hear this, but no, she did. The audio is crystal clear. Someone shouts out, "Jesus is Lord." And then candidate Kamala Harris quickly replied, "You're at the wrong rally." And people applauded. So sad. Jason, can you hear me now? Can you hear me? Well, I'm just going to wrap it up here. Here's my point. The Bible says God is not mocked, and whatever we sow, we will reap. And you know what? Listen, Lord knows we wish no ill to anyone. The Bible says God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. And every true Christian wants people saved. Those that are engaged in immorality, those that have been pro-abortion, those that have been for atheism and the banning of the Ten Commandments and the undermining of our liberties, we wish them no ill. In fact, we pray for their soul. We want them to be saved and know Jesus. But at the very same time, we are in a fight of light versus dark. But here's one third day that I'm going to mention that is a spiritually charged day and a potentially positive day. And that's this day, folks. The day that you, in your heart, would say, "Do you know what? I'm going to be brave. I'm going to have courage. I'm going to speak truth. And Lord, if you will cleanse me, fill me, send me, use me, I'm going to stand up for what's right. I'm not going to just sit by passively and let the darkness sweep our freedoms away. I'm not going to do nothing while our kids and grandkids end up living in a Marxist police state. I'm going to step out of my comfort zone, and I will say my prayers, and I will influence those around me, and I'm going to make a difference." Folks, that can be you. That should be you. That must be you. And this is the day that you take your stand, and you'll say, "For God and country, I'm going to make a difference." You know what? God lit a fire in my heart many, many years ago. That fire burns to this day, and I'm pretty introverted, timid guy, but we couldn't stay silent. And I pray that the boldness that will change lives, God will birth in you this day. So take a stand and know, 1 Corinthians 15:58, your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Well, folks, what a great day it's been. And I thank Jason Raypert for being with us. And then we'll be back tomorrow with more on AFR.
I'd like to take a minute and have a heart-to-heart with you. If you're able, place your hand over your heart. Can you feel it? My strong heartbeat reminds me that I'm alive. See, it's the same for an unborn baby. The heart begins to form at conception, and at just 3 weeks, is already beating. At 5 weeks, a baby's heart can be heard on an ultrasound. That's where preborn steps in, rescuing 200 babies every day from abortion by simply providing a mother with a free ultrasound and allowing her to hear her child's heartbeat and see their perfectly formed body in the womb. By 6 weeks, eyes are forming. By 10 weeks, a baby is able to suck his or her thumb. Preborn needs our help to save these precious babies. For just $28, you could be the difference between the life or death of a baby. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, just dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250. Baby, or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.